Well, you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 8. So last, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The last time we met, we talked about the foundation of our power, right? Which is the Holy Spirit. That gift that God gave us when we got born again. And tonight we're going to look at our power in action. Our power in action. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive what?
Power.
And that shall is in the absolute tense. Right? It was an absolute assurity that they would receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So when they got born again, they received power. It said that they shall receive power. The ability to do some stuff, right? That's what power is. It's the ability to do some stuff. And I think last time we met, we talked about we compared it to a Bic lighter, right? A lighter that has fluid in it, has the ability to do some stuff, but it needs to be activated, right? It needs to be flicked so that it creates a flame. It needs to be activated. So we received the same exact thing that they did on the day of Pentecost. We received the same amount of Spirit. The same Spirit that was in them is in us, right? When they got born again, they received exactly what we have today. And that word receive in verse 7 is lambano, to receive into manifestation. Right, so that means that they were not only going to get Holy Spirit, but that they were going to manifest it. And we know that they did. They spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to go to verse 7. So we receive power too. The ability to do some stuff. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about some of the stuff that we can do. In verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who?
Every
man." That's everybody. "To profit with all." So it's given to everybody to profit. And the word profit is to benefit from. Right? It's given to every man, every person to benefit from. And then in chapter 12, verse 8, it tells us some of the benefits, some of the things that we can do with the manifestations. It says, "For to one," meaning profit or benefit, "is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." By the same Spirit. Right? So the word of knowledge is to know something that is humanly impossible to know otherwise. Right? When God gives you information that you by your five senses couldn't possibly have known. Right? So God's not going to tell me how many people are in this room, because I can know that by looking around and counting everyone. I can know that by my five senses. But God can tell me if there's something heavy on someone's heart in here when they haven't made that known, right? That's something that God can tell you, because it's not possible for you to know that unless that person does tell you. And in the first part of the verse, it says, "For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." The word of wisdom is what to do in a situation, or what to do with the knowledge that you've been given. Maybe God tells you something, somebody's heavy on somebody's heart, and then he tells you what to do about it. Maybe he tells you to go give that person a hug. Maybe that's what they need. Maybe he tells you a specific thing to say to that person, to help counsel them or help help light in their heart, right? That's a word of wisdom. What to do in a situation when you don't, wouldn't otherwise know what to do. So part of what we've been given is these manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We can know what to do in a situation, and we can know things that are humanly impossible to know. And it's all by the same Spirit that we've been given. It's not any different. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, which refers to speaking in tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these nine manifestations, worketh that one and self-same what? Spirit. These are all operations of the same Spirit that we all have, right? So the apostles who were there, born again on the day of Pentecost, it's the same Spirit they have that we have. It's the same manifestations that they manifested that we can manifest. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man, and that word dividing is distributing to every man. It's distributed to every born-again believer. Somebody didn't get just eight of these, or three of them, or whatever. It's all nine, self-same Spirit to every born-again believer. To every man severally as he will, as he wills. And that's the key there, will. And the word will there is with intent or with full consideration, right? That's the nature of that word will. It's to want to do something in the sense that you have the intent, the desire to do it, or with the full consideration of what you are doing, that you've really thought about it, right? That's kind of the nature there. It's not a, I would like to do this, or maybe someday I'll do it, or I hope to do it, right? You've thought about it and you decided that you're going to do it, right? You can think about doing a lot of things and most of them never get done, right? It's not until you go and do that and decide you want to do it that the job gets done. I mean, if you think about household chores, for example, a lot of times there's a lot of things that you'd like to do. You wish that would get done. But if you don't pick up the tool and go do it, then it just stays on your honey-do list, right? It doesn't get done. So the I'm going to is how we operate power. Right? We decide we're going to do it. We put our minds to it. We've got the intent to do it. And we go do it. Right? That's the spark, right, on the little Bic lighter, the little flicking that lights the fluid, that generates the flame, is the I'm going to do this. And that's what it says. It says in verse 11, if the word of God is true, that it's going to distribute to every man severally his own as he wills, as he wants to do it. So if you've got a desire to manifest, you will what? Manifest. That's right. Go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12. So when we speak in tongues, we are operating power. And it's something that we've decided we want to do. And we do it. And when you speak in tongues or you interpret, right, those words are there. You do it. And God gives you the words. He's never not provided the words, right? Like, when you speak in tongues, you do it. And you're like, oh, okay, there they are. Right? But it's a desire to do it. And the rest of the manifestations are no different. Right? You decide that you want to operate them. John 14, verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, this is Jesus Christ talking, he that believeth on me, do you believe on Jesus Christ? Well, yeah, you had to if you're born again. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Right? It doesn't end with the works that I do. It says greater works than these shall he do. And just as a fun side note, if Jesus Christ was God, then we would be doing greater works than God. And that's just silly, right? So can't be God. But it says that we can do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater, right? That's the power that you and I have, that you and I have, that we can do the same things that Jesus Christ did and greater. So when we read the Gospels and we see the cool things that Jesus Christ did, you should think, I can do that too. I can do that too. Because that's what the Word of God says. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. That's the power that we have. So our power in action is the same and greater than Jesus Christ had. And it's Christ in us. So we can operate that power too. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who do what? Believe. So we've got to believe that we can do these things. If you don't believe that you can do it, you'll never get it done, right? And it's the same with anything in the physical realm too. If you don't believe that you can carry out a task or get a job done, you're already behind the eight ball, right? You're telling yourself you can't do it. So we need to believe. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, right? It's God's power at work in us. You know, that's the other thing that we got to remember. It's God's power. It's not like we're not doing this stuff ourselves, right? God is the power source. We just have to believe and want to manifest it. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Right? So God's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't play favorites. This power is ours, and everyone who believes it has it too. Right? It's no different. That's a promise from God's word. So you should never think to yourself, well, I know other people can do this stuff, but I can't. Right? That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that you can. Right? And that's what we need to believe, that we can manifest power too. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Because the devil would like nothing more than to talk you out of your power, to convince you that you can't do it, that you're not good enough, that whatever, for one reason or another. Maybe it's just, I don't even know how to explain it. I just don't think I can. That's not what the Word of God says. So we got to convince ourselves and repeat it and read it and go over it and over it again until we believe that. That we can do it. And then we say, I'm going to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which what? Raises the dead. Right? And we shouldn't trust in ourselves. Right? That's not where we should put our trust. We put our trust in God. Relative to God, none of us is smart or strong. Right? Relative to God, like, it's not even close. So we shouldn't try to put our trust in ourselves, but we should trust God and what he says is going to come true. When you trust yourself, you're only going to be disappointed or depressed, right? Because, you know, you just don't have the power. We're just human beings, flesh and blood, Holy Spirit. But that Holy Spirit is our power source, and that power comes from God. So we trust in God. Go to Romans chapter 6. He's the one that makes all this available. So you don't have to think about it yourself. You can think, God's at work in me. That's why it's going to work. It's going to work because God's at work in me. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Likewise, verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? So we don't trust in our own ability. Our five senses ability, that's all dead, right? It's sin nature, it's dead to us, and that's what we should reckon it as. But we are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our real living is our spiritual life. Our spiritual walk is what's going to produce power. Right? God is perfect, and our spirit is perfect. And we can rely on that. We can rely on the perfection that is God and is our spirit. Right? We don't trust in our own ability. We trust in God. We rely on Him and the Spirit that He's given to us. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So our power in action happens when we decide we're going to do it. And when we trust in God and not ourselves. When we stop thinking about us and our own frame, and we think, well, I've got Holy Spirit. God is perfect, so I can do this. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that...
Where are you? You said 12.
Yeah, 7. Sorry, I'm in 2 Corinthians 7, 12. I can't, it's dyslexic. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 is where you should be. I was reading that and I was like, that doesn't sound right to me. 12, 7 is where you should be. Thank you. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So this is Paul speaking. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is what? Sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Right? So Paul received great, great revelation from God. An abundance of revelation. And he also had to deal with people who were after him, who wanted his life to be difficult, who wanted to harm him, who wanted to kill him. And God told him that God's grace was sufficient for him, right? Bad stuff was going to happen, but God's grace was sufficient for him. And the verse continues, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that word strength there is the word dunamis, or power, right? The same word that we read in verse 8 of Acts 1. It's dunamis. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And the word weakness there is the Greek word for humility. So what the verse truly says is my power is made perfect in humility. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So when we are humble before God and we let Him work in us, that is when we are at our most powerful. right? When we humble ourselves before God and let Him work in us, that is when we are at our most powerful. Verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak or humbled, then I have power. That's the same word strong again, dunamis. Then I have power. Right? So when we're humble before God and let Him work, that's when we are at our most powerful. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Right? So being humble is a part of it. Right? Recognizing that it's like that's God at work in us. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Right? And that phrase means he emptied himself. He emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Right? So we should let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, simply means to think like Jesus Christ. Think like Jesus Christ thought. And it tells us after that how he thought. He didn't think of himself as any great, fantastic super being. He emptied himself. He emptied himself. Right? That's true humility. In verse 8 it says, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Right? That's true humility. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He obeyed even the instruction that he was going to have to die. Right? He could have obeyed all the way up to that point, been like, sure, I'll do that, sure, I'll do that, sure, I'll do that. And then God was like, well, now you're going to have to give your life. He could have been like, whoa, wait a second. I can do the rest of this stuff, but that? But no, he obeyed even that. Verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Right? In John 5:30, he said, I can of mine own self do what? Nothing. That was his attitude. That by himself he couldn't do anything. It was only with God that he had the power that he had. And Jesus Christ recognized that. And he was perfect. He was God's only begotten Son. Right? So we should think like Christ. We should think the same way. Right, he emptied himself to serve God in an obedient manner. If God told him to do something, he would do it. And that should be our attitude too. That's when we'll operate power. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. And that's a big one too. Sometimes we don't want to do what that little thought in our head says we should probably do. Right? Well, that's God working in you. So we need to get in the habit of paying attention to that stuff. And not second-guessing ourselves, but walking out on it. That's when we're going to see results. If we second-guess it, and we don't follow through, we're not going to operate the power. So we've got to walk out on it. Even if we think it's weird, or that might not work. Well, so what? You got to walk, you got to try it. If you never try it, then what? You'll never do it, right? It'll just be like that to-do list that sits there every weekend. Never actually get to it. Galatians 3:5. He therefore that ministers to you, the Spirit, and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith or believing? That's a great question. It's rhetorical. It's not by the works of the law, right? The person that's doing these things, that's ministering the Spirit, that's working miracles among you, It's not by works of the law, right? It's not by religious hoops. It's not by, you know, ceremonies and other things and traditions. It's by believing, right? It's the believing what you hear. Well, if God's word says you can do it, do you believe it? You're hearing it. Are you going to believe it? That's when you operate power. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's not by works. You can't do it yourself. Jesus Christ couldn't do it himself. Right? It's by God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. Right? We have this Holy Spirit, this treasure, this very valuable, perfect thing in earthen vessels, our physical, corruptible body. That's the analogy. That the excellency of the power may be of us, because we're so cool and awesome and special. No. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, right? And not of us. That's where the excellency of that power comes from, right? Your weakness in your flesh is a non-factor in your ability to operate the manifestations, right? That's what that word of God is saying. Your weakness in your flesh, your earthy vessel, it's a non-factor in your ability to operate the manifestations, right? The one who listens, the one who obeys God and follows through on what he's showing you to do is the one who operates power, right? So don't look at your own self and think, well, I'm no good at this and I'm weak and how could I ever possibly? It's a non-factor. That's what the word says. You don't have to even look at that stuff. You just have to be confident that you have perfect Holy Spirit like everybody else who's born again, like the apostles had, and that you can do it too. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. So we can't get tricked into thinking that, you know, our frailties or our shortcomings or our weaknesses are going to be an impediment to us operating power. It should be a non-factor. That's just the earthly vessel part, right? The treasure is the perfect spirit part. That's our power source. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Okay? Now, when you read this record, you have to understand that these guys are operating power, right? They're walking with God. They're operating the manifestations. When Peter looked on him, he said something. Well, that wasn't just happenstance, right? God is giving them revelation. He's giving them word of knowledge and word of wisdom. What to say and what to do. What they need to know and what they need to do with that information. So, as they're walking, they're at the ready, right? They're expecting God to show them things. And God does. And they say something. Look on us. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive, or lambano, something of them. Right? So God tells them to say, look on us. And then the response from this man was an expectation to receive, right? That he was going to get something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and what?
Walk.
Rise up and walk. Now, again, you don't just say this stuff, right? Is it by your own mental acumen that you get to do this stuff? No, you have to check in with God, right? You've got to get revelation from God if you're going to heal somebody. So it's not like these guys just decided today they were going to heal this man. They were walking with God. They were walking with God. But God gave them the green light to do it. And so they said something that would absolutely come to pass because God said it. If you just walk down the hospital, you know, wing and decide to start telling everybody that they're going to get up and walk or they're going to be healed without any kind of revelation, you're going to be pretty disappointed, right? Because you're not doing what God's asking you to do. You're not operating the manifestations. It's not like these guys just said that, right? God showed them what to say and what to do, and they listened and obeyed and did it. And it works. It's a two-way street. You can't just go decide you're going to start saying stuff like this and expect results. But on the flip side, if God says that you can do this and gives you the green light, and then you get scared or doubt or second-guess yourself and be like, well, that's kind of crazy. If I just say this in front of everybody and nothing happens, I'm going to look like a fool. Then you're not going to say it, right? So you got to get the green light, but once you do, you got to act on it. And that's what they did. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, right? And so Peter was ready and willing to listen, obey, and then follow through on it, right? And that's our power in action. We've got to be ready and willing, right? The manifestations, we saw that in 1 Corinthians 12. It's every man as he wills, as he wants to, right? If you want to heal somebody, if you want to walk with God and do these things, then you've got to be in a place where that's what you want to do. And if God doesn't show you right away to heal somebody, then you can't get bummed and think you're doing it wrong, right? You just keep going to God with things. And when the time is right, and it's his will, then he'll give you the green light, right? And that's when you see power. Peter was ready to listen, to obey, and to follow through. Chapter 3, verse 12. And it says, and when Peter saw it, he answered the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye? Why are you surprised, astonished to see this miracle happen? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? Right? Peter knew the deal. It's not that he did anything special. It wasn't his decision in his mind. He didn't just look at this guy and go, okay, I'm going to do this today. It was by God. Right? God showed him what was available and he walked out and obeyed. And that's what he's telling everybody else. Why are you looking at us like we're anything special? And that's the humility, right? He didn't start going, I'm so amazing and I healed this man and everybody should worship me and bow down to me and give me all your money. Right? And he said, why are you surprised? Why do you look at us like this was anything special? Right? It's not our own power that caused this man to walk. Verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Right? It was the Christ in them. It was them operating God's power that healed this man. Right? Not anything that they did on their own. And Peter let the people know where it came from, right? And that's where the power comes from. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll close here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that what?
Works
in us. That power works in you. And we can do, right? We can do amazing things. It's God at work in us. And God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Right? We just have to be ready and willing to listen, obey, and follow through on that stuff. And it takes effort, it takes practice, and it's a walk, which means that you're going to stumble sometimes. But you can't quit and give up, right? If you say, well, I tried this a couple times, it didn't work out for me, so I'm done, then you're done, right? But you've got to keep at it. You've got to keep doing it until you get the confidence and you see the results and it really comes to pass in your life, right? And that's going to build your believing and your ability to do it over and over and over again in your life and to see these great things come to pass.